Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Philippians chapter 2. I bring greetings from the saints at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wheeler and St. John's Lutheran Church in Diedrich, Illinois, Central Illinois District. Dear fellow redeemed in Jesus Christ. Remember a time in your life growing up when your mom and dad asked you to do something? Or maybe they said, would you stop groaning and complaining and grumbling? Maybe you had to eat your least favorite breakfast. Maybe you were asked to clean your room or mow the grass or do something you just didn't want to do. What usually was your response? Grumbling and questioning, right? Moaning and groaning. Why do I have to? Each one of us may remember a time in your life where that was exactly the case, moaning and groaning, grumbling and complaining. What caused that? Why didn't you want to help your parents or your grandparents, your neighbors, your friends, someone who asked you to do something? Why do you and I complain? Me, not now, but I used to complain when you would get the syllabus for your class and you see that you would have a 10 to 15 page paper. You would moan and groan at the professors. And maybe the professors moaned and groaned because they thought to themselves, oh, not that student again. Can't he take someone else? Why a 15-page paper, we ask? Can't I explain my point in 3 or 4 pages? And a bibliography page? Really? You gotta be kidding. Because I already have 3 classes this quarter with 10 to 15-page papers. Why do you and I groan? The sinful nature, it's lazy, selfish, it's hateful, it's criminally minded, nasty, and envious. Our sinful nature only thinks of itself every day, every week, every year. It's me, myself, and I. The sinful nature also hates God, hates the commandments, hates the law, hates God's grace, hates God's word. It despises God because you and I want to be God. We don't want God telling us what to do. We want to tell God where to go and what to do. Then here you are, some of you preparing to be pastors in a congregation to confront your congregation's sinful nature and yours as well. Paul tells us to do all things without grumbling and complaining, to shine brightly in this dark and sinful world. He leads us to do what we are incapable of doing by our own nature. Can we really do something without grumbling and complaining? Can we really go about doing something happily because we were asked to do it? How difficult that truly is. You and I complain about life. We complain about situations. We may even complain about seminary life, students and professors alike. We wonder. Some of you may get a placement to a congregation that has already chewed up the last 3 pastors. No Hope Lutheran Church, Nowhere City, USA. Here I come. You may get a call to the end of the world, and then you go 15 more miles northeast, and that is where you serve God's people. Grumbling, complaining. As a professor, you look at your list of students and you wonder, why this one? This one, I don't know that he will make the seminary. Why do I have him in my class again? Grumbling and complaining. Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, says that we are to do all things without grumbling and complaining. We may say, but why am I here, God? Why did I get this call? Why did I have this fieldwork congregation? Why am I in this situation? Why? Who is Paul kidding when he says I'm supposed to do things without grumbling and complaining? He says that we are to do all things without grumbling and complaining as unblemished children of God, blameless and innocent. Can you really be without blemish? Can you really be innocent and blameless? Doesn't our sinful nature destroy that possibility? We grumble about life. We complain about situations. We don't like what things are going on in our life, or maybe the life of the seminary, or the life that's at home, or wherever the case may be. We complain about a lot of things. We cannot be innocent children. We cannot be unblemished, blameless children of God. And then Paul says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Think, wait a minute. That sounds like synergism. Is Paul saying that I'm supposed to cooperate with God to save myself? It is the baptismal faith struggling against the old sinful nature to drown him under the water every day in contrition and repentance. Drowning that old Adam. Putting him under the water, hoping that this is the last time he pops up. But we know that sinful nature. That miserable, ugly, God-hating sinful nature that we inherited from our parents. It's in every one of us, regardless of where we came from. The Holy Spirit works in us through the Word of God, the Word that was attached to simple water and holy baptism, to put that old Adam under the water, to drown him in contrition, sorrow for sin and repentance. God, please, help me not do that again. This is really faith in action, repentance. Turning from sin and turning to God. The sin of grumbling and complaining. The sin of telling God what to do and where to go. This is what the cross of Calvary is all about. It is about forgiveness. Forgiveness that you need and I need and your people need, regardless of where your call is, what situation you're in, your family, your friends, whoever it is. Forgiveness. It's God remembering your sins. No more. Jesus dying in our place, dying the death that our sin of grumbling and complaining deserves. Christ taking upon himself all of the ugly and mean and nasty things we think, say, or do. So that we would become unblemished, innocent children of God, washed in the water and the word of holy baptism. And think of it this way, every time repentance takes place and forgiveness of sins by God, it is like God re-splashing you with that baptismal water, walking wet in your baptismal grace. Strengthened regularly by the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. It is the eyes of faith looking at the cross and seeing salvation, Savior, eternal life, the resurrection of all flesh. God says, or Paul says, that God works in you and in me, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Lord works in your life and he works in mine. God works in us what he desires us to do and to be. Sanctification is God's work in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus works in us to strengthen our faith, to lead us to repent of our sins, to seek God's grace at Calvary every time we see a cross, and to trust in him. This is what allows you and me to go out and serve wherever God places us in his kingdom. Maybe it's a call to No Hope Lutheran Church. Maybe it's to that fieldwork congregation. Maybe it is to the seminary as a professor. Somewhere in God's kingdom, he leads you to go. This is what allows you to see the sinful nature inside of you and also inside of your members in your congregation, in your fieldwork pastor. And if you go out to a congregation with more than one pastor, the other guys in the office, you will see the need, the desperate need, that everyone needs a Savior. Christ. It leads you and me to preach the word, to administer the sacraments, to be about the business of Christ, knowing your failures and knowing the strength of Jesus Christ in spite of those failures. You know, if the Lord leads you to a congregation, great. To preach the gospel, fantastic. To love the people, wonderful. But what if at the end of this year you don't have a call? What if there are no places? What if you go out to a congregation that's got a building project? Then what? God may have a plan for you yet. Maybe God is thinking about for you laborers for Christ. You serve a congregation that needs to build. He may have the blessing of a construction company coming to your congregation to fit inside. Maybe you don't have a call this summer and you're wondering why, God. And he said, you know, maybe I'll go out and swing a hammer for the summer. And maybe there'll be a call at the end of the summer for me. Maybe you're in the ministry for 17 years like me and you think, I need a time off. I'll go swing a hammer for the time being. Maybe a professor needs some time off. Don't know. So no matter what happens, no matter how many page papers you have this quarter, no matter what kind of students you have in your class, professors, no matter where your fieldwork church is or your first congregation or your second congregation, the Lord Jesus goes with you. He brings His love, His mercy, His forgiveness everywhere you go. In fact, He's never too far away and you never go too far away from Him because He always has His eye on you. So you can go through life without grumbling and complaining. You can go through life trusting that what God has placed before you is what He wants you to do, where He wants you to be, what He's going to produce in you. Because it is He who causes you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Christ will be there to forgive you when you fail, and you will fail. He'll be there to love you, to hold on to you, to strengthen you and prepare you for life ahead in His service. So you can go on through life without complaining and grumbling. You can go do the things He's called you to do because He's there for you, preparing you. So you will shine among this dark, twisted, and crooked generation. You will be that light shining in this dark and sinful world because you'll be holding fast to the word of life, Christ. Christ is the word of life. Our hope, our reason for living is preaching Christ and Him crucified, resurrected, and ascended. And don't forget, He's coming back. We rejoice with Paul every day. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.